The phrases polarized and divided are among those most used to describe our politics right now. They're also sometimes used to describe our society. But are we more polarized and divided now than we've been in the past? And if so, why is that? To help answer these and other questions, I'm joined by Marie Griffith. She's a historian of American religion and director of the John C. Danforth Center on Religion and Politics at Washington University in St. Louis. She's also author of the book Moral Combat: How Sex Divided American Christians and Fractured American Politics. And Marie, we hear so much about how things are more fractured and polarized now than in the past. Do you think what we're dealing with now is a surprise?
Well, it's true. I think our divides have been growing for a very long time. I mean, on the one hand, I think you're right that we seem to be in a more polarized moment than, you know, at most moments in our history, perhaps. I mean, one can always look at the Civil War or other moments of profound division in the country, but we are very politically, religiously, ideologically extremely divided now. But the divides didn't really come from nowhere. As I see it, they've really been growing over time for at least a century.
And from where did they come? I mean, based on the title of your book, it seems as though religion and sexuality would play a role in that somewhere. But I guess how big of a role did those two factors maybe play?
Well, I think sexuality and views about gender and religion have played a profound role. And let me qualify by saying, of course, these aren't our only divisions. There are profound divisions relating to attitudes towards race and racism, for instance, justice, and many, many other issues. But one that I don't think gets enough attention is the profound divide in America over issues of gender equity, women's freedom, and sexuality more generally.
How do you see that playing out now in the Me Too movement, the sexual harassment, maybe increased awareness and increased willingness of women to come forward and saying that men have done these things to them?
Oh, yeah. We're really in a profound movement. I finished the book before, of course, the Me Too movement arose. I do have a chapter on sexual harassment in the book, but it really focuses more on the controversies surrounding Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill in 1991, and then Paula Jones' accusations and others against Bill Clinton later on in the same 1990s. And of course, one of the points that's often made is, as powerful as those accusations were and the national conversation was around sexual harassment at that time, in a deeper way, nothing really seemed to change. And what feels different now, or at least feels different in this particular moment, is that more and more women have felt empowered at all levels, I think, to come forward and share their stories. This Me Too hashtag took off so deeply across the nation. And, of course, we'll just have to see if those produce long-term changes or not.
Well, do you think they will? I mean, what do you think ultimately the impact of this national dialogue that we seem to be engaged in right now will be at the end of the day?
Well, I'm a perennial optimist, and so I have to think that this is not just a blip, that it really will create profound changes. One concern that I do have, and I'm not the only one, I've heard this articulated elsewhere, is that things may be changing for women who have a certain degree of privilege or class status. And, you know, the worry would be that maybe working class or among poorer women, that maybe things aren't changing as dramatically as they are elsewhere in our culture. So, you know, I worry about that. But I have to think that the profound awakening we seem to be having in this moment, I mean, teen girls are seeing that, even children are seeing that, boys are seeing that, and young men and responding to it. So I very much hope we'll see some change emerge out of this.
You write about how over time that attitudes about sex came to sort of be a proxy for attitude about change in society and sort of modernity more broadly. I'm wondering how you see that sort of manifested itself now, you know, in 2018.
I think attitudes about sex are so interesting because for so many, many years in our own history, of course, there was this really a sort of consensus among Christians and most Americans that sex was to be reserved for marriage. And by marriage, of course, everyone, most people at least, meant monogamous heterosexual lifelong marriage. Female chastity was especially important. So women were not supposed to be having sexual experiences prior to marriage of any kind. And, you know, gradually over time, for a whole lot of reasons that I try to detail in the book, those attitudes, you know, began to shift. And they shifted in some places more quickly than others. But over time, they've shifted pretty dramatically from what they were a century ago. And what we can see happening at the same time, of course, are changing attitudes toward women's social roles, the freedom for women to work in certain professions that were once closed to them. All these sorts of things have also shifted. At the same time, there's been a profound reaction against both shifting sexual mores and shifting social roles, domestic roles for women. And oftentimes these things go hand in hand. I mean, I think when I say that, people kind of instinctively nod like, oh, yes, you know, that's true.
Based on your research, do you think people are really concerned about changing sexual mores, or is that just sort of a way that they can express themselves about larger concerns that they have?
Yeah, no, so I think that this concern about changing sexual mores often has to do with concerns about the family, as we know, concerns about motherhood and how children will be raised, and also attitudes towards authority. I think those things often go hand in hand, a fear of social chaos, political chaos, the sort of degradation of American civilization as a whole gets kind of bound up in these fears about changing sexual mores.
All right. Marie Griffith is a historian of American religion and director of the John C. Danforth Center on Religion and Politics at Washington University in St. Louis. Her new book is called Moral Combat: How Sex Divided American Christians and Fractured American Politics. Marie, thanks a lot. Good talking to you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.